Well, it's me again. And not just that, but we have a special guest that we want to today. Is that me? Am I doing that? I hope not. Every time it does, my mic goes out. But Josh Javery is here today. He's our missionary from Poland, or in Poland. And he's visiting his parents. He's home for just a little bit here, staying with Art and Dixie, mom and dad. And he's visiting his supporting churches, one of which is ours. And Josh, will you stand and maybe just wave there, and we can give him a hand. He is laboring for the Lord, doing faithful work there in Poland. So please greet him, encourage him, and remember to pray for him along with our other missionaries. All right, great. Well, Thursday we celebrated Thanksgiving, and today's brief message is entitled Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Is it possible to say thank you too often? Is it? You know, I did a Google search this past week and found a bunch of articles and blogs about the tendency of some people to overdo it, to overthink. Some people say thank you constantly. Have you noticed that? I mean, even when it seems like there's nothing really to say thank you about. A waitress sets down food for me at the restaurant, and I say, thank you. And she says, thank you back. And I say, why is she saying thank you to me? She just served me. I suppose for many of us, we say thank you out of a habit, or to fill up an awkward silence, or just because it seems like the polite thing to do. Have you ever been thanked by someone, maybe a salesperson or a cashier or a waitress, so much that it just seems ridiculous? You ever had that happen? Maybe you're one of those people that tend to overdo it when it comes to saying thank you. But if you are, don't panic, because I think you're on the right track. God's will for you is a life of thanksgiving. We're going to take a brief look at a text in the New Testament from 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to look carefully, if you would please, at these words and notice first that Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes this gets misquoted as give thanks for all circumstances, but that's not what Paul says. Paul is not saying to give thanks for the cancer that's attacking your loved one or for the wildfire that wiped out your home if you were to live in California, or for the abuse you suffered as a child, or for the rampage shooting that killed innocent people. No, we don't give thanks for bad circumstances, but we can and we should give thanks in all circumstances. There's a difference. Nor is Paul saying that a Christ follower is to live in denial or to be callous to the suffering of people around us. No way. The exact opposite. Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, to weep with those who weep. We sympathize, we empathize, we give our hearts. Like Jesus, we're called to enter into the sufferings of others with empathy and compassion and intercession and tangible help. Never denial, never indifference. No, what Paul means when he says give thanks in all circumstances is that even on the darkest of days, there's always truckloads of stuff for which to thank God. Now, this is not to minimize how painful life can be, especially in times of loss or illness, but it is to say that God's goodness is always much bigger in our lives than the worst of the worst that happens to us. And so no matter how dark it gets, we can always still find plenty for which to be thankful. This is especially the case if you, as Paul says here, are in Christ. Notice those words, in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ means that he's in you and you're in him. That you have a personal relationship with him. That you know him. You don't just know about him. You know him as your personal Lord and Savior. It means that you've trusted in him to save you. Not in good deeds, because you can't be saved by doing good things. You can only be saved by trusting in Jesus, the one who died for your sins and rose from the dead. I spoke with a couple who had just returned home from India, and they were astonished at the poverty that they saw there, far worse than anything we can imagine here in the United States. They said they saw a whole family that lives on one twin bed. That's what they call home. One twin bed, the whole family. Can you fathom that? That's their home. Could you give thanks if you were in that situation? It would take the grace of God, would it not? It would take a miracle, would it not? But who is it that's in us? Is it not he who performs miracles? Is not the grace of God flowing to us and in us and through us? Huh? Amen. It's your birthright as a believer. The story is told of a Roman governor who is persecuting Christians and was baffled to understand their thinking. I just don't get these Christians, he said. When a Christian man was brought before him for interrogation, the governor threatened him. He says, I will banish you, this governor said. You can't, was the reply of the Christian. For all the world is my father's house. Well then, I will kill you, said the governor. You can't, said the believer, for my life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, then I will take away all your possessions. You can't, because my treasure is in heaven. Well, then I will drive you away from your friends and family, and you will have no one left to comfort you. You can't, he said, because I have an unseen friend from whom neither you nor anyone else can separate me. And the governor was at a total loss. How can you threaten a person like that? A person whose identity and life are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the game changer. It's not about your circumstances. It's about him. With Jesus, you truly can give thanks in all circumstances. And yet, even we Christians lose sight of this, do we not? How can we develop an attitude of gratitude, a life of thanks living? Well, we need to make what may be for many of us a new habit. All right? A new habit. I'm going to ask you to form a habit today if you haven't already. And that is the habit of continually thanking God for his blessings. Get in the habit of doing it with the air you breathe. Many of you know I've struggled with depression for many years. And one of the ways that I manage it is with a relentless, continuous, stubborn, and I mean stubborn, practice of thankfulness, listing for God the many blessings in my life, food, family, clothing, shelter, an awesome church family that loves me, the privilege of living in the greatest country in the world. I don't take that for granted. And far and away, the greatest blessing of all, and that is knowing my Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is as close to hell as it gets. The future is bright for me and for you who know Jesus. It's brighter than I can imagine. In a short time, it will be daylight. And how great that will be. I'm telling you, folks, this is a real lifter, a real and true lifter if you do it and if you believe it. Let me ask you, how full of thanks are you? Picture yourself as a glass. You are the glass, and the water in you is your thankfulness. How full are you? How full of thanks are you? Are you empty? Oh, I'm not thankful for anything. I've met people who say that. Are you half full? I got some things here, but the rest of the stuff. Are you full to the brim? How full of thanks are you? We're supposed to be thankful, right? How full of thanks are you? Score your level. Think about that in relation to your life. Now, let's be very generous. Let's take me for an example. And this is only hypothetical, all right? Theoretical. Let's say, just for the sake of illustration, that I'm full to the brim. Every day, I'm just brimming with gratitude, no matter what happens. Notice what the Apostle Paul says my goal should be. Colossians 2:7, overflowing with thankfulness. The cup being full, the glass being full is not enough. We're supposed to be overflowing. Not just full, but overflowing. So if you think, I'm just about thankful enough. Well, no. We got to be overflowing with thankfulness. We can still always be more thankful. Never hold back. No. Drill down. Double down. More thankful. Are you occupied with thoughts about how unappreciated or unrecognized or unloved or misunderstood you are? Don't go there. That's being full of yourself. And I'm telling you, that will lead only to grief. You will not be happy that way. Take it from somebody who's been there. Rather, be full of thanks. Self-absorption is the enemy to thankfulness. Let me give you, in closing here, four ways to celebrate Thanksgiving. These are just a few suggestions here of things that you can do. If you make this a habit, if you're determined to do it, this will revolutionize your life. First of all, thank God first thing in the morning. When you open your eyes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can say that even if you had a tough night. Thank you, Lord. You've given me a bed to sleep in. You've given me heat when it's cold outside. Whatever it is, you can thank Him the moment you open your eyes. Secondly, thank God for two blessings for every complaint you make. What if that were really a rule that you stuck by? Every time you complain about something, you have to thank God for two things. Guess what? You'd be twice as thankful as you are whiny. Wouldn't that be something? Imagine how that would change your personality for the better and your outlook on life. Next, say thank you for something to everyone you encounter. Now, I don't mean when you're walking down the street, thank you, thank you, thank you. No. When you're talking with somebody, find something to thank the Lord for or thank that person for. That's a good thing. Be truthful, but do it. And then finally, thank God when your head hits the pillow at night. You made it through another day. The Lord was with you. He was good to you this day, even if it was a tough day. Thank Him. Thank Him as you go off to sleep. Oh, my goodness. This helps me to have better dreams at night when I go to bed thanking the Lord for His blessings.